ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George. Hola, amigos. Welcome to the Sports Hangover. Plenty to get into today. Pelicans look to bring good vibes as they begin a homestand. The Wizards in town tonight. Will Guillory of The Athletic discusses that. The trade rumors around the team in hour one. Saints general manager Mickey Loomis speaking this past hour. Some of the things he had to say, yep, including Drew, the cap, and free agency. Trey Hendrickson will have all that for you. It's all ahead on the Sports Hangover. Scott Kushner is going to join us in hour number three. His thoughts on what do you want to see from the team in this homestand? The Pelicans scheduled to face Washington, Milwaukee. The Bucks coming in town on Friday, a back-to-back Saturday against Houston. Monday, it's Sacramento. Next Wednesday, the Phoenix Suns. Jordan, about a little revenge when it comes to that. Jordan Kleber with us today. Imagine that. How are
I'm
you?
I'm back.
I was class all day, by the way, yesterday.
Horrible. I mean, as...
Why did you sign up for a three-hour class?
What do you mean, why did I sign up? I
got to take 2 to 5. Oh.
It was brutal.
3 hours.
It was brutal. That's all I got to say.
I can't. 3 hours.
That's sitting in a class. Both of my classes are in the same class. So
3 hours.
I got to know those four walls real well.
Oh, I'm sure you did. 3 hours. Anyway, so we'll discuss that. Jack Benjamin, voice of the Colonels, will join us at 2:30. Nichols takes back to the hardwood later this afternoon, hosting McNeese. Very interesting when it comes to that. So in December, they had 7 cancellations, obviously, with COVID and all that other stuff. In between that, they lost 3 games into that. Lost 2 games in between of those 7 games being canceled. And since then, I think they've won 7 of 8, 6 in a row. So what's changed? It's kind of 2 completely drastic different parts of a season here. So we'll talk with Jack coming up here. Maddie Hudak's going to join us at 1:15 in that 1 o'clock hour. She's the only guest. I want you to listen, and we're going to play what General Manager Mickey Loomis has to say. It's about 15, 16 minutes. We'll play that here in this segment in full so you can hear it as soon as Jordan saves it for us here. And then we'll break it down in hour two. But I want you to hear what he has to say. And then in hour two, the main topic and subject matter is simple. You would have now heard from Mickey Loomis, and you would have now heard from Sean Payton. So as Saints fans, what do you think about what you're hearing from the head coach and general manager? Because some very interesting things, you know, like Mickey saying, look, I don't see scenario really where we're not trying to compete now, win now, and go for a championship. I mentioned when we heard Sean Payton a couple Thursdays ago, we heard him really talk about just the way the season went and everything, but I said to me, it kind of stood out. He didn't sound defeated. And I wouldn't say like defeated in terms of obviously in 18, the way it came down to an end, but I don't know. It seemed like a coach that was very confident in his quarterbacks, very confident in the team that's coming back, and almost sounded eager and ready to get going again, if that makes any sense to you. Senior Bowl going on, though, obviously, and things of that nature. But, of course, you know what day of the week it is.
Uh-oh.
Guess what day it is.
Guess what day it is.
It's hump day.
Hump day!
I know you can hear me.
Let's get stupid.
Today's more than what that Camel Wednesday hump day is. Hump day.
There he is, Shock Gina Digital Underground, letting you know you've reached the midway points of your work week. Got plenty to get into today. You'll also hear from Stan Van Gundy, Steven Adams, and Brandon Ingram. Spoke yesterday after practice. The Pels practiced yesterday evening. Words of wisdom.
To all the ladies, peace and happiness forever.
800-998-1003 is the way to chime into the conversation. Buddy. We'll take your phone calls over in the LaRose studios. You can also tweet at us at ESPN Radio NOLA. So looking forward to, of course, what we have to discuss and get into here in a little bit. Pelicans, the rumors that are circulating, things of that nature. I'll say this, that's going to be something to keep an eye on. We talked about it yesterday towards the end of the show, and that was a situation where you saw reports from Shams Charania from The Athletic say, hey, look, the Pelicans are receiving phone calls for Lonzo Ball and J.J. Redick, and that there had been a conversation with the Golden State Warriors, Kelly Oubre Jr., for Lonzo. So all of that was something we touched on yesterday when it hit towards the end of the show. That was before the Pelicans practiced. This morning, NBA Central and several other places reporting that the Pels are willing to move on from Lonzo Ball if they get a significant return. Now, I'll ask you, what's a significant return? What do you think is a significant return? What do you need? What do you need for Lonzo Ball, J.J. Redick? What's interesting is yesterday after practice, Brandon Ingram addressed it. He was asked about the rumors, and what he says to the guys, in particular, those two players' names pop up.
I try to encourage everybody to just live in the present moment. Whatever we got going right now, and if we're playing basketball and whatever we're doing with the Pelicans right now, I try to encourage them to be the best in the present moment. We know that the business of basketball is the business of basketball. We can't control anything outside of it, but we can control ourselves and how we come in here every day and how we practice, we play, and how we carry ourselves. So I just encourage him to do everything that he does well on the basketball floor, and then everything else handles itself.
So one of the things, obviously, that the Pels are now dealing with is that. Look, here's an open-ended questionnaire to all you guys, right? More than anything else. Now that you've seen that, I mean, you have to almost make a move now. Not that you wouldn't. Obviously, you're discussing this, right? But when players' names are being mentioned and you're doing that, I just go back to what happened with the Lakers, right? When Lonzo and Brandon Ingram and others were part of the Godfather, you know, plan and things of that nature, that Magic Johnson was trying to do that. You remember Lonzo sending out tweets or Instagrams or just songs. Remember, they were in the locker room or him getting treatment. It was just different songs that had messages and meanings for sure. I don't know if this is sort of the same or not. I saw Jeff Duncan and others this morning kind of tweet it, and I agree. I almost look at this as the Jrue Holiday situation, right? And what I mean by that is, I think that it's probably just best for everybody. Remember, we were talking about with Jrue Holiday in the offseason and going into and before the trade happened. It's probably best for all parties involved. He can go try to chase a championship. He's going to be a piece that another team would like. You can get some assets, whether it's players or draft picks, that are going to help you now. And it's amicable, and you saw it, right? I don't know what's the problem this year. Players get cold. Players also don't fit certain systems. Is it the system? I've seen a lot of that, especially Lonzo supporters. It's the system that doesn't fit him. Last year under Alvin Gentry, Lonzo Ball improved the shooting. He was offensively a better player than this year. It could be confidence. Maybe just need a change of scenery. I don't know. But, and again, I'm not blaming the Pelicans' 5-10 start on one player. I've just in general said you have to get better play from your guard and point guard. You just have to. One way, shape, or form. Maybe it is just best for both parties. If there's interest out there, maybe a different system, maybe a team that, you know, the responsibilities would be different for Lonzo Ball than they are here. In this system, Brandon Ingram, Zion. They're your main scorers. Got to get him the ball. Turnovers have been an issue, especially with Brandon Ingram leading the team in turnovers. So he's not immune from all of this. It's not just Lonzo or Bledsoe or Redick and things of that nature. But, you know, again, if JJ's going 0 for 6, but yet another team thinks, hey, look, we could use him for a playoff run, because some of these teams that you're seeing that are interested in these two players are teams that are either currently in the playoffs or going to be in the playoffs. So, again, maybe it's just best for all parties. Stan Van Gundy yesterday on practicing with, again, not knowing or knowing if you're going to play or not, the postponement of Monday, things of that nature.
No, it's not. It's not hard. Like, you know, you go out to practice today. I had just found out about Sekou. It was hard, like, getting started. But once practice started, I mean, you know, it commands your attention. It's sort of an hour and 20 minutes, hour and 25, whatever we're out there. It's a little bit of a respite from the tragedy. And but then as soon as practice is over, you know, you're right back to thinking of it. And it's just, again, I think what hit me more than anything, I mean, it'd be tragic any event, but it just sounded optimistic yesterday. I mean, everything sounded good. Mark's been really nice keeping me updated on almost a daily basis, and it just sounded good. So I was just shocked today when I heard.
Sekou's referring to Sekou Smith, a longtime NBA reporter and analyst who passed away due to COVID-19 at 48. Lots of people in and around the league very familiar with him. Covered the Pacers, the Hawks, nationally as well. Coach, a little bit more on the passing of Sekou Smith.
It's really hard to sit here and talk about basketball games, let alone practice, when, you know, we just lost one of your colleagues who's one of the best people that I've ever been around. And I got a chance to work with him every Friday night. Last fall, Sekou and I worked together. I had known him back from when he was a beat writer in Atlanta, but really got to know him last year. And just a great, great person. Cared about other people. Great sense of humor. Positive, upbeat guy, extremely intelligent, and some of you undoubtedly knew him even better than I did. I had that short few months where I got to see him a lot, and I found out about an hour before practice, and the tough thing for me was that last night, Mark Spears has been keeping me updated, and last night the news, right about the time we canceled the game, Mark had texted me, and the news was positive. It sounded like things were getting better. And so when I got, after our staff meeting today before practice, when I got the text from Mark and then from Andrew that Sekou had passed, I mean, it just hit hard. You know, I think for all of us, this COVID thing has been painful, to say the least. But when you lose somebody that you know and that you admire and respect, and who's young, I mean, he might not be young by some of your guys' definitions, but young by my standards. I mean, it's just really, really hard. I mean, and this thing is so scary, and it's brought so much grief to so many people. And today is one of those days. There's a lot of people grieving a great man in Atlanta today with Sekou. So I know I took a few more minutes, and I even forget your question, but that's what's been on my mind since 4 o'clock this afternoon.
Now, Smith joined Turner Sports back in 2009, worked all across the platforms for Turner, NBA TV, a beat writer for NBA.com, Hang Time Podcast, you name it, which is how Coach Van Gundy knows him and stuff. And yeah, look, it hit a lot of different people here as well. I mean, that's 48. I mean, I'm 45, you know, and, the sooner the better that, that COVID goes away, right? No doubt. Quick break. We come back. We'll hear from Mickey Loomis. He just spoke within the last hour and a half. So we'll have that for you. We'll play it in its entirety so you can hear tone. You can hear the questions. You can hear all of that. Then in hour two, Matty Hudak and I will break it down at 1:15. Your questions or your thoughts on what he has to say as well. Will Guillory, bottom of the hour. It's the Sports Hangover. Hour one is brought to you by the King Firms. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King. 504-909-KING. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
You're invited to start 2021 right now.
Right now.
On the new Toyota of your choice at Homa's number one dealer, Greg LeBlanc Toyota. Start browsing our online prices at GregLeBlancToyota.com for low online prices. You can get your top dollar trade-in value and low monthly payments with the click of a mouse. It's just that easy. If you're a new or returning customer, our friendly staff at Greg LeBlanc Toyota will make you feel right at home. Remember, when you go to Greg, you get the deal. Greg LeBlanc Toyota, Homa's number one new car dealer. GregLeBlancToyota.com.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
The new year is here. Aside from thankfully saying goodbye to 2020, it's time to say goodbye to the old you as well. Hey everyone, it's Gus Kattengell from Men's Total Health. Last year, did you notice any physical changes in you? Reduced energy or libido, increased body fat, ED, brain fog? You know, it could be low T. If you're suffering from low T, you don't have to accept it. Hormone balance can help you be your best self. Improve quality of life and relationships. Visit menstotalhealth.net or call 504-777-7590 to schedule an appointment. They accept all major insurances and tell them you heard it on the Sports Hangover.
Keep your business on the cutting edge with electrical supplies from Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. Bayou Black Electric Supplies has marine, oil field, and industrial electrical supplies. They have products ranging from marine, cable, lightning, and lots more, including Eaton Electrical. Many items for any project or repair. Count on superior service and lightning-fast delivery. Bayou Black Electric Supply is your local electric connection, a division of Fleet Supply Warehouse, located on Highway 311 in Houma.
That man's got some stones.
Believe me, he is no wuss.
His legend lives on.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengell.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. General Manager Mickey Loomis speaking this morning with local reporters. Here's what he had to say.
It's our, primarily our college scouting staff and myself, Jeff Ireland. Some of our area scouts and then our national scouts as well. So that's a little different. You know, we don't typically, if available, the coaches are all here with us. You know, we bring a big contingent because of the proximity, and then we want to support, Mobile and support the Senior Bowl as well. But this year, because of the, COVID restrictions, we're limited to 10 people.
Next one's from Rod Walker.
And Mickey, not just Mobile, but just scouting in general this season. What have been the challenges of just trying to scout during COVID?
It's been a tough year for our college scouting staff because they've been very limited in what they can do. They can't really do any on-campus visits this past year, so they can go to games, but really they're limited in the sense that they can't go into the football offices and visit with players and coaches on campus visits. So that has to be done, you know, virtually or in a lot of film study as well. So it's been considerably different.
Next one's from Fletcher Mackle.
Hey Mickey. Obviously I know that this off season will probably be a little different given Drew's situation. Do you go in different paths of a plan if Drew returns, a plan if Drew retires. Just how do you take the early offseason knowing that he's still pondering that decision?
Yeah, I don't think it's a lot different than last year, and that, you know, we'll wait for him. But look, we've got a lot of other planning to do. Look, there's more unknowns right now than there are knowns, in the sense that we don't yet know what the cap's going to be next year. Even a narrow range we don't have yet. So, we've got a lot of planning to do. We haven't completed our, evaluations, our roster evaluations from last season. So, at this point in time, there's more unknowns than there are knowns.
Next one's from Amos Morrell.
Well, you kind of touched on my question just now. I was going to ask you where you were with the roster evaluations and if you guys had identified positions of need.
No, we're not anywhere close to that. We're going to meet next week and begin that process of evaluating the roster. And again, until we get through that process and then understand exactly, what resources we're going to have available to us, we really haven't got an action plan in place yet.
Next one's from Ed Daniels.
Mickey, how important is it to retain Trey Hendrickson, and is he a big item for you, so to speak, in the offseason?
Well, look, Trey had a great season, a breakout season for him, and obviously he's going to be an attractive, free agent for anyone. But again, that's all part of the planning process. Part of that has to do with certainly we would want him back, but I can't really say, how strong a play we can make for that until I understand, where the cap's going to be this year and as we go through the roster evaluations and start making our choices.
Next one's from Mike Triplett.
Mickey, I know you guys have a pretty good record against the salary cap over the years, even when people think it's going to handcuff you. But is this a more daunting situation, or do you envision that you're going to actually have to pick some players on the team that can't be with the team because of the cap, or what's your outlook on it right now?
Yeah, I think this, look, for sure it's going to be challenging, and yet I don't want to speculate as to, how challenging it's going to be until we have a better understanding of what's going to be available, not just for this year, but even for the year after. So, I can't really answer that question other than to say, yeah, it's going to be daunting. I think it's going to be daunting for a majority of teams in our league.
And do you think, because of the combination of the cap and the possibility of any changes at quarterback, do you guys have to decide if you want to stay putting every resource you can into contending for a championship in 2021, or, sort of we have to rebuild and we have to rebuild this cap? Or is there an in-between?
Yeah, that's kind of tough to answer right now, but we've got a great roster, and I can't foresee a circumstance where we're not going to say, man, we're going to do everything we can to win now, and compete for, a championship. So, but again, it's difficult to really get into specifically what we need to do until we have more information.
Next one's from John DeSager.
Mickey, when you mention those unknowns, do you have several different projections that you kind of apply, and then when you know the knowns, be able to make one applicable, or do you just wait until things firm up? And second, how has scouting changed you bring from last year to this year?
Yeah, I didn't hear the last part of that. The first part, yeah, I would say we have a framework of things that we know we can do and whether we need to do them and to what extent remains to be seen. But, we've thought about, the different levels that we'll have to deal with.
Next one's from Larry Holder.
Mickey, broad question here, but where does this team need to improve to advance further in a season?
I think that the answer to that will kick out of, our end of season evaluations. And, there's a lot of variables to that, including, who are the free agents on our team and, who do we end up losing? What you know, there's just too many unanswered questions for me to answer that specifically, because we don't have all of the information yet. Certainly, you know, we can always improve, and we're always looking to improve, but give me a few weeks here and I'll be able to answer that a little more specifically.
Next one's from Nick Underhill.
Mickey, what will the impact be of losing Terry Fontenot, and do you guys have someone you're going to replace him with yet?
Yeah, look, Terry Fontenot has been fantastic for us, and we're excited that he gets this opportunity. We have some guys in the building that we have a lot of faith in, and talented guys, and so we'll adapt. Look, you never like to lose, you know, good people, and both in the personnel and the coaching side, but we're excited for all those guys and the opportunities that they've got.
Next one's from Amy Just.
Yeah, that was basically my question, but what is the timeline there with potentially making a change there and putting somebody in that position, and then as well as the coaching staff changes that you need to make as well?
Yeah, I don't know that we have a set timetable. We're going to take our time, make sure we make the right decision. There's no hurry. There's no reason to be in a hurry. It's more important to get it right than it is to, you know, do it fast.
Next one's from Catherine Terrell.
Hey, Mickey, I was wondering if this year feels like there's more turnover than normal. I know there are years where you move a lot of coaches around and lose a lot of coaches, but to me it just feels like it's a bigger turnover, I guess, because they've been here longer. I don't know if you have that sense at all, or if it's just kind of NFL.
Yeah, I would say it does feel like more than usual, but part of that may be just that, look, so many guys had opportunities to interview and were close, not just the guys that ended up getting opportunities, but some of the guys that interviewed and got close to being offered new opportunities. So it does feel like there was a lot of that. I think when we just count the numbers, it probably isn't too unusual, but it does feel like that. I agree.
Next one's from Fletcher Mackle.
Thank you. And Sean did his season ender. He talked about liking the players in the quarterback room, Taysom and Jameis. How do you all maybe reconcile that with also potentially, if you do explore veterans who may be available during the offseason, knowing that you like what you have, even if it's a little more improving, but there may be proven veterans out there in some capacity? Is that something you all discuss, and how do you kind of thread the needle to do both?
Yeah. You know, again, the answers to that will kick out over the next few weeks as we go through evaluations and we talk about our roster, we talk about every position. Generally speaking, we target our own guys first, but again, that there's a lot of that, the answers to that remain to be seen here, and we'll get the answers to that over the next few weeks.
Next one's from Luke Johnson.
I'm sorry, Mickey. It looks like there might be just like a possibility for like a lot of quarterback turnover kind of around the league, like there was last year. If that at all affect your acquisition from your standpoint?
You still cut out. I think you're asking me about the quarterbacks that are going to be out there. There was a number last year, and it looks like there might be a number available this year. You know, again, all that evaluation and what happens with that still remains to be seen. We'll talk about every position again. But look, we like Taysom, we like Jameis, we like what they did for us. But again, just like every other position, we're gonna have a lot of discussions over the next week or two, and move on from there.
Next one's from Amos Morrell.
Yeah, I know you're still really early in the prospect evaluation part of it, but have you noticed any strengths of this draft class or any areas where you think there's a little bit more talent?
Yeah, I don't have the answer to that yet, although, man, I was really impressed with so far with the group here in Mobile. I think they've got, you know, a lot of talent, a lot of good-looking players, and it feels like we know less about this class of players than any class in recent memory, just because of, you know, the COVID restrictions, the restrictions on scouts getting into campuses, as well as, you know, the fact that there were so many, so fewer games.
We'll have a little bit more on Mickey Loomis here coming up at the top of the hour, but some interesting things that he had to say. We can discuss that after Will Guillory, who's going to join us here after this break. And then in the 1 o'clock hours, I said Matty Hudak from Canal Street Chronicles. We got her at 1:15. Segment before and the two after. I want to hear from you, Saints fans. We'll go over Mickey Loomis again, what he had to say. We'll play it if you missed it. We'll break it down in bites by that time to make sure we can discuss certain things. But until then, think of this. Because he mentioned we're going to wait on Drew. How long do you wait? How long can you wait at that position? Will Guillory next on ESPN New Orleans.
Is pain putting a strain on your quality of life? Don't suffer in silence. Get relief at the Pain Center of Thibodaux Regional. Dr. Luis Hernandez and Dr. Keith Duplantis can provide solutions to neck, knee, and back pain, as well as pain associated with injury, arthritis, nerve damage, and migraines. Get help for your pain at the Pain Center of Thibodaux Regional. Call today, 985-493-4080, or go to Thibodaux.com.
It's time for some straight talk. Look, we all drop our phones. It happens. You fumble it, crack it, splash it. Well, Straight Talk Wireless now offers this new Platinum Unlimited plan that includes phone protection. Just $65 a month for unlimited talk, text, and data, plus 20 gigs of hotspot, 100 gigs of cloud storage, and more. All on the best network. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. See Mobile Protect terms and conditions at Asurion.com/straighttalk. Limitations and exclusions apply.
Fact. No one likes feeling lost, whether you're stranded on a deserted island or while you're filing your taxes. But with Tax Act Expert Help, you'll get access to real live CPAs and tax experts 7 days a week. They'll help you get your maximum refund guaranteed. I double pinky promise it. So don't get stranded while doing your taxes. Get the help you need. File for less and get more with Tax Act. Start for free at TaxAct.com. See TaxAct.com for complete details.
When it comes to finding the perfect bouquet for your Valentine, it pays to plan ahead with 1-800-Flowers.com. From first dibs on great deals to the best selections of Valentine's Day roses, don't wait to wow. Up your love game today. Right now, you can get 24 multicolored roses for $29.99 or upgrade to 24 red roses for $10 more. This is an unbelievable offer from 1-800-Flowers. To order, go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, and enter code BART. 1-800-Flowers.com, code BART.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Mr. Will Guillory of The Athletic joins us this afternoon. Pels will take on the Wizards, 8 p.m. tonight, 7:30 pregame right here on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans. Will, good afternoon to you. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. I'm getting used to these 8 p.m. home tip-offs. That's right. A little different. It's the COVID age. You got to get back to family.
It's almost like an Eastern time sort of thing, right? Tip-off on that is how it feels. A little strange on that. I got a lot to get into, Will. It's crazy because the last several days, covering the Pelicans, you've had to cover a lot of different topics and situations here as well. So let's kind of start with what happened back on Monday. Spurs and Pels game was postponed out of an overabundance of caution, essentially, right?
Yeah, it was basically one of those situations where it wasn't even anybody on the two teams that tested positive. It was someone, you know, who was around the teams. And I think that's something we've seen over and over again with the league, with them just being overly cautious. You know, so many of these postponements have nothing to do with guys actually testing positive. So much of it is just contact tracing. And I think, you know, we've heard Stan Van Gundy say this a couple times. I think, you know, people are, you know, don't enjoy when they're looking forward to a game and it gets postponed. But the NBA's got to do what they got to do to keep these guys safe, and that's the most important thing.
Going into that game and on that Monday, and I was texting you back and forth earlier in the week here as well. Look, I mean, it is what it is, right? I mean, they've lost 8 of 9. So they're not in a good place yet. There's a lot of season, and you look at the standings and you look at the win-loss record and all that stuff. You're certainly not completely out of it. You have plenty of hoops to go. And on any given night, you'll see a team that shouldn't win. We see that. I get it. That all said, I'm just going to ask it broad based here. Will, why do you think the Pelicans are 5-10 if someone asked you?
I just think they've been unable to establish any type of identity. And I think, you know, when I thought, really what I thought you were going to ask is, you know, how do you name the problems on this team? And I think, you know, just go down the list. Okay. I think, you know, the shooting has been terrible from guys who you'd even expect to be great shooters. They haven't been good. The depth hasn't been good. The defense hasn't been good. Your stars have been a little bit up and down. I think you just go your starting backcourt that you had high hopes for hasn't been very good. So I think it's just that's one of the biggest concerns. It's not like just one thing or two things you can point to. It's all over the place. They're having problems, and I think first and foremost, I think they gotta address the defense because that's why Stan Van Gundy was brought here, right? To make this team a better defensive group, to make that a part of the culture of playing defense. In the past 2 weeks, they've been the second worst defense in the league. So I think they got to fix that first and foremost and then address everything else.
At Will Guillory on Twitter. Will Guillory covers the Pelicans for The Athletic. You know, it's interesting because you're right. That's why he came in. And look, I know a lot on Twitter has been about Lonzo and JJ and missed shots and guard play. We'll get to that. You and I have discussed that. But look, Brandon Ingram leads the team in turnovers. You know, Zion sometimes it could be a little bit better defensively and things like that. So you think it's just learning the system, knowing you have to do that, and then it kind of takes a toll one way, shape, or form?
Yeah, for sure. I just think it's a lot, you know, right now on B.I. in particular, guys, I'm looking at, and it's just, you know, from night to night, he has to score points. He has to create for others. They're asking a lot of him defensively. I think, you know, with the pace they're playing at, a lot is on his shoulder. So I think, you know, it's just, I think there's a lot to learn right now within the system on both sides of the court. I think it's really been surprising how long it's taken them just to figure this thing out. And, you know, obviously the shortened training camp is an issue, you know, new coach, all that type of stuff. But I think, you know, they got to just have a better grasp of what they're doing from night to night. And I think having, you know, a couple of days just to look at some film and get some practices in, I think that'll help. But they got to, you know, make some real progress, you know, fast.
Speaking with Will Guillory. All right, so Will, that kind of takes us to what happened yesterday and earlier this morning. The old trade rumors are starting to circle, not the first time, but Shams over The Athletic, you know, saying, hey, look, whether it's the Warriors and Kelly Oubre Jr. or among other teams that are interested in Lonzo Ball and J.J. Redick this morning, the reports of, well, the Pels want a significant return for Lonzo Ball. Let's just start with the very beginning of all of this. How much interest do you legitimately think there is in Lonzo Ball and J.J. Redick from other teams?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I think teams are interested in, you know, what Lonzo can be in the future, what he can be in a system that's probably, you know, better tailored for, you know, his skill set. Well, I think we all saw last year how much he really enjoyed playing within that Alvin Gentry system, up and down tempo, where he's able to kind of play that Chino Hill style of basketball, right, where we've been used to seeing him. And now, you know, with Stan Van Gundy, it's more of a half-court, you know, structure style, and he struggled within that. But I think J.J. Redick is a guy, you know, basically every contender in the league would line up for, even if he is shooting 30% right now. Because I've joked about this a few times, even with you during games. It's like, you watch J.J., he's 0-6 if you look at the box score, but every time he comes off a screen, two people are jumping on him just because he's got 15 years worth of respect, even if he's missing shots. People are going to respect J.J. when he walks on the court. So I think a lot of teams are going to line up to get him. But I think you can see a bunch of teams, you know, that are right there on the fringe that will be willing to take a shot on Lonzo just to see how he'll fit in a different system than, you know, this half-court system that Stan Van Gundy has been trying to put in.
And that's why I think it's interesting, too, because it is about the potential. And look, and I do think as I saw several people kind of mention at cover of the team or just in general say, look, maybe it's just best for both parties. I opened the show by saying it's almost a Drew Holiday scenario to an extent with Lonzo Ball in terms of maybe it's just best for both parties to go in separate directions and everybody can be happier. And that's what I mean in terms of like Drew Holiday, where look, it wasn't, we don't care for you, we don't like you or things of that nature. Maybe it is the system. Maybe it's just, hey, go to another team where you don't need to really score and just, you know, play a different type of pace and scenario. But with Brandon Ingram and Zion being your primary offensive weapons, you kind of need a certain type of guard. And that's why I say maybe it's just best, right?
Yeah, I think I'm really starting to get to that point, especially if you're going to play this style, if they're going to be, you know, bottom half of the league in pace. I think Lonzo just doesn't really fit as much, especially if you're going to have another point guard, Eric Bledsoe, in the starting lineup. I think you're better off with a guy who's just more comfortable taking those jump shots on a consistent basis, maybe going after his own shot here and there. And you know, we know Lonzo just isn't that guy. He's the guy that wants to play, you know, in transition. He wants to throw those lobs to Zion. And I think, yeah, I think you're exactly right. At some point, I think they're going to probably come to a decision that, hey, you know, maybe Lonzo just doesn't fit here. Maybe we can try to see what Kyler Lewis can do. But I would just like to see what it looks like if maybe Lonzo hits like 35% of his threes. Like, mm-hmm. you know, that he's shooting so bad, it's making the Mavs look even worse than I think it probably is. But I think, you know, I would love to see how things look if these guys actually start making shots, which they just haven't done through the first 15 games.
Well, the report of, well, we've got to get a significant return. I would just ask you, what is either significant or what do you want to see in a return for either J.J. Redick or Lonzo Ball or other players right now? I'm going to cheat here and just say shooting, a three-point shooter, somebody that can provide that. Is it a young player with the future, a contract-friendly player, a certain kind of player? I don't know what – If Griff calls you and says, "Will, I just saw your tweet. You're drowning that knocking down that right wing three when y'all played the media game. So I'm going to trust your expertise here. What do I need to get in return for Ball or JJ?"
Yeah, I think first and foremost, I don't know how many years we're going to be screaming this, but they need a 3-and-D guy. They need somebody who can play on the wing, somebody with some size who can shoot. You know, who can, you know, play without the basketball. I think if you're moving Lonzo and JJ, you probably want to open up some time for Kyra and Nikhil Alexander-Walker. I think that's the biggest win if you do end up moving Lonzo, is you want to see what those guys can do. And I think, you know, that's the most important thing, is you, who knows how good they're going to be, but the only way you can find out is by actually giving them real substantial time. And I think also just people you can invest in long-term. I think, you know, what they figured out with this J.J. Redick thing is that maybe, you know, giving guys minutes to that type of guy, it's just taken away from some of your younger guys. And obviously J.J. is extremely important in the locker room. But I think they want to get younger. They want to get guys under contract long term. And also, I just want to address also that when we look at a lot of these trade rumors with the Pelicans, if you look back in David Griffin's history so far, other than the Anthony Davis trade, most of the deals he's made, we didn't see coming at all. They weren't out there on the Twitter trail. Like, we didn't see Steven Adams coming at all. We didn't see Drew going to Milwaukee at all. I remember coming on your show, we were constantly talking about Brooklyn and Miami as the top team. So I think, you know, we might be in a little rush here, you know, just to say that, hey, we've seen these rumors out there, the Pels are about to move Lonzo, just because I think David Griffin has done a pretty good job keeping things under wraps for the most part. But if you continue losing games, you know, teams are going to keep sniffing around and these rumors are going to continue. Just because you got to make some type of move at some point.
See, it's funny you went there, because one of my second to last questions on you is now that names are out there and, you know, the tweets exist and, you know, it's going to be the topics of discussion on shows and such. And Brandon Ingram addressed it yesterday after practice. Do you almost have to make a move here at some point?
Yeah, I mean, if they continue to be the second worst team in the West, I don't think you really have a choice, right? But I think they're probably going to end up being better than that. I do think they're going to have to make a decision with JJ at some point. He is an expiring contract, a guy, you know, been in the league for 15 years, obviously. I think at some point he would like to be with a contending team. I think, you know, he's talked several times about how much he enjoyed being in New Orleans and working with the young guys, but, you know, he's only got so many years left in his league. So I think you can still get something for him. I think they got to make a real decision about Lonzo, obviously, and they got a few other expiring contracts, but I think the two I would look at, and then Eric Bledsoe, you know, he's still got a few more years left on his deal. Will a contender come after him or not? And how does he fit as well? I think those are the three big questions.
Washington, Milwaukee, Houston, Sacramento, Phoenix. The five games scheduled here in this homestand. What do you want to see, need to see from this team before they get back out on the road on February 5th?
Yeah, it's the two things we've been talking about over and over again. Defense and turnovers. I think that's been the biggest weakness in this team. Just them defeating themselves, you know, mental mistakes, not helping each other out, not trusting the system. And they've got to get a baseline at some point how they're going to defend and how they're going to take care of the ball. Because if those things are going to be, you know, on the negative side every night, you're going to be one of the worst teams in the league. So I think they've got to show real improvement in those two areas.
Will Guillory of The Athletic, man. Always a pleasure when you join us. And let's go take – are we taking a nap before the 8 o'clock tip? I feel like I could take a nap right now.
I know. I feel like we need to, right? Because by the time we get to that fourth quarter, it might get a little rough. So I think I got to go knock one out.
I hear you, man. Will Guillory, always a pleasure, man. Thank you so much, sir.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
There he goes. At Will Guillory over on Twitter from The Athletic. You know, it's a question of the day that we threw out there a little bit ago, and we'll address it right out of this break. Jordan, go ahead and do it as we go into our break.
Yeah, so the question has to deal with the New Orleans Saints and what Mickey Loomis had to say today about Drew Brees in the quarterback position. That he told reporters, we will wait for Drew, and the team has unknowns right now. So we thought about the question, how long do or can you wait on deciding your quarterback of the future? You could comment or call in 800-998-1003 or tweet at us over on Twitter at ESPN Radio NOLA.
See, we have a caller. We will get to you right out of this break because hour one is brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King. 504-909-KING. It's the Sports Hangover at your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans. Working here forever, at least until I die. Damn if you do, damn if you don't. I'm supposed to get a raise next week, you know damn well I won't. Working for a living. Join us for the Start of Something New sales event going on now at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat in Houma. You can get a great deal on a Ram today. Check out all of their new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram trucker van at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Houma. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Avenue One Spirit has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine and Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine and Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine and Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Some people just have a knack for being there when you need them the most. Like your third grade classmate who sticks up for you against that bully. The neighbor who gives you a jump start. And the friend who chases away that flock of geese at your outdoor wedding. Your State Farm agent has your back too, through good times and the not so good. And who's got your agent's back? State Farm, the company people have trusted for more than 90 years. We're here to help life go right.
Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and cut off today at 985-632-0988.
The man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Oh, man. ESPN showing Scott Norwood miss. That's him. Huh? Is that him right now on Outside the Line? Don't call him a bum. That poor guy. Oh. Oh, no, that's a season ticket holder, 34 years. Well, I saw the gray beard. It could be Scott Norwood. I think there was a 30 for 30 on him. I mean, seriously, it was a poor thing. 800-998-1003. 10 seconds, and I'll go to you, Reed. But you're the question of the day there. And what Mickey said, and just, you know, look, it's just something to think about. I'm going to play the very beginning.
Yeah, I don't think it's a lot different than last year and that, you know, we'll wait for him, but look, we've got a lot of other planning to do.
Okay, so just right there. He doesn't think that it's any different than last year. We're going to wait, but we got planning to do. I want you to think of this, Saints fans. How long can you wait? Legitimately. Stafford's out there watching. I mean, can you make calls and still wait? Are you waiting till March? Are you waiting to the draft? Are you waiting to before the draft? Are you waiting till new league year starts? Are you waiting for the roster bonuses to kick in? What are you waiting for? But the other question that stood out to me on that too, when he says we're waiting, That means they're waiting on him. Can the Saints win with Drew Brees next year at the level they want? That's a legit question. At some point in time, that hard conversation, that hard chat, close the door, come here. No, not you. Not for you. Yeah. Oh, here it is. There's the door. Let's hear it. There it is. Door just closed. Drew, sit down. We need to have a chat. I love the guy. And I still think you can win and probably be a playoff team. But I'm saying it today, January 27th, 2021. You cannot win a Super Bowl with Drew Brees. Ooh. I know. It hurts to say it. You have to accept it.
I've been stabbed.
I don't think you can win a Super Bowl with Drew Brees anymore. Reed, thanks for calling the show, sir. What do you have?
Gus, I'm sitting here like echoing everything you just said. You stole my thunder, but that's okay. I called because you asked the question, and I called. And my question was, what are you waiting on? I mean, you and I, we talked over years. We said that the Saints is going to be he's going to be the Saints quarterback until his arm falls off. Guess what? His arm done fell off. It has. I'm sorry. It's just he on the level we need him at right now. They could say Michael Thomas was throwing shade, but Michael Thomas was 100% correct. He was right. I mean, let's just deal with it. Don't talk about trading him because he's telling the truth. Mm-hmm. He's just telling the truth. He's telling it like it is, man. Drew can't throw the ball 25 yards down the field anymore. He just can't. Call it what it is.
Let's pause for a second and I'll let you continue. And the reason why I've made that statement, that the Saints can't win the Super Bowl with Drew Brees, and I could be wrong, and I'm sure maybe Mickey and Sean may feel that way, but my reason behind that, if I'm asked, why are you saying that now? Because I watched the NFC and AFC championship games this past Sunday. And my number one takeaway from both of those games was you better have a playmaking quarterback. Because the two studs you saw in the AFC championship game aren't going anywhere. And if you want to win a Super Bowl, you're probably going to be facing one of those two. Or Lamar Jackson. Or somebody, or you know, the Chargers kid, man, and Herbert. In a couple of years. You better have a guy that can throw and score. And on the NFC side, now I get it, Brady and Rodgers are the elder states, but they can still make throws, man. I mean, like, they were still making throws. You can give me all you want about Brady making those picks. Evans didn't play very well on some of those. Some of those were some interesting decisions. Tom Brady in the cold of Lambeau Field. Look, calm, cool, and flipping collective in that game. And Rodgers made throws. And you know, Dak's come back healthy, whatever, and other quarter. Russell, like, you better have a quarterback. And I'm just looking at it and going, in the past, I could say I'll take Drew over and then name me a quarterback. Those four played better than him, period. They can play better than him, period. Period. And so if I want to win that game, the chances are I have to go through at least three of those if Tom retires at the end of this year. You know what I'm getting at? That's why I say that.
1,000%. And also, but, I mean, we're not, I mean, they know more football over there than we'll ever know. But, I mean, we watch the game. We can see anybody, if we can see it, you know, other teams can see it. I mean, the what they did with Drew, they pretty much dared Drew to throw the ball over the top, and he couldn't do it. And Sean Payton refused to call the plays to double moves. I mean, I don't think we've seen a double move all year, you know. And that killed me, man. And Michael Thomas, I hate to admit it, but he was right. And at this point, I mean, Drew's mind is still in the game. He knows in the head part of the game, that'll never go away. But so I'm like, what are you waiting on him to say? Okay, I'm going to retire being a quarterback, but I want to come back and be the same quarterback's coach.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, do that. Let's do that. And coach up James and coach up Hill, and let's see where that takes. Because right now the physical skills we need is not there, because the Saints' offensive line in the guard position not giving him the time he needs to climb a pocket. At this particular point, he needs about 4 or 5 seconds so he can wind it up and throw that occasional double move 50-yard seam route.
Man.
He's going to need 5 seconds to do it. And guess what? He don't have the arm strength to do it with a quick 3-4 second drop.
Access denied.
I'm not.
What are you doing, Gus?
No, I'm just. I'm not.
What are you playing around with?
I'm not suggesting that they should change the code at the facility.
No.
I'm just, he's not going to do it. He's not.
They're not going to take. They're not going to take away Drew Brees' finger. They're going to take his fingerprint away.
Please try again.
Hey, look. I mean, Gus. Look. Hey, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for.
I am too. Let's start planning the statue, Lee. Lee, let's start planning the statue. Let's start getting ready to be teary-eyed for the presser. It's just time, man.
It is.
It's just time. And the reason I played that is because I don't want that to be the case. I don't want him to pull in, you know, in March and be like, I just got to get a quick workout in.
Access denied.
Oh, no, I don't want that to happen. I don't want that to happen.
They're gonna keep his fingerprint around. Come on.
I don't know. I don't know, man. You know, just...
It's time, man. It's time. We love Drew. You know, I know you love Drew. We all love Drew.
I love Drew.
We talked about Drew.
I love Drew.
We talked. We've been on shows together. We talked about Drew, man, being going to he's 45, 46. But we know reality, man. We know part of time is undefeated. And the bottom line is, you know, man. We love him. Russell Mayor, Russell Governor.
I think they're saying the right things. I have a hard time believing, Lee, that Mickey Loomis and Sean Payton aren't thinking of moving on, understand it, are waiting because he's earned it out of respect to have him at least be able to pick up the phone and be like, guys. But I also don't think that there's no way that guy headed out to San Diego and they didn't have at least a 5 second chat on this, right? I mean, there's no way. Hey, man, it's been real. I'll hit you up in a couple of weeks. And Sean go, gotcha. There's no way. I mean, it's literally the most important position in football. There's no way. So, anyway, thank you, Lee. Appreciate it, man. Hit the top of the hour, bud.
All right, good.
Jay Fowl on Twitter, Jordan.
Yeah, time's up with a Snow White gif of her waving goodbye.
Access denied.
And then he also follows up with, at ESPN Radio NOLA, call Dr. McKenna. Is Mickey in denial?
Access denied.
They're not taking his fingerprint away.
I know it's true.
He's the best player the Saints have ever had.
I agree. I think his access will always be allowed. Always.
Might have to get it updated, though, as the age and the...
Well, I mean, under COVID restrictions, you know, is he zone 1 or 4? I'm having a little fun, but... let's wrap up with hour one on this. We'll ask Maddie at 1:15.
About his fingerprint?
No! What if that phone call to Sean is, Sean, I gotta tell you, man, the waters of Hawaii have regenerated me, man. You should have seen me. I was diving off cliffs. Let's make one more run. What do you say if you're Sean? I mean, do I go, I'm sorry, I'm having a bad connection.
What if he's, all right, I'll go to another team. What if they win the Super Bowl? What if Drew wins a Super Bowl with another team?
I think this is easier this year than in years past. His body, his wife's Instagram post, and the games you saw in the championship games. Hour one's in the books. Hour two next on ESPN.